How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
You still can't cover everything the Bible says about talking. So before I start tonight, let me tell you what I have not included about talking from the Scriptures, talking points about talking. And they are, I've missed the big ones because I thought you could figure the big ones out yourself, but let me mention them just so that we don't miss the obvious. And that is, number one, is we should always tell the truth. I haven't made that one of the points, but that one kind of goes without saying. In fact, the Scriptures says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. So we should always tell the truth. One of the things I liked about my wife back when I first met her was her devotion to tell you the truth, even if it was it was painful, but her view of it was it creates a lot more interest when you tell people the truth than if you just kind of glass over stuff. And and telling people the truth, if we don't tell the truth about every subject, we're already off track. We're already off track. And everything that happens thereafter is based on a false premise. And so truthfulness is really important. And of course, a second one that goes with the bigness of telling the truth is speaking the truth in love. In love. And so that must be the main character quality that accompanies telling the truth. Some people boast about telling the truth in a way because they upset everybody and massacred somebody, but not doing it in love is a big failure. So those are two points about talking. But tonight, let's move to the ones that were for us. Last week, we covered the following. We talked about a scripture that goes with this one, said, in all labor there is profit, but talk tends to penury, which is to lose the profitability out of our work, because talk keeps us from getting work done. And then we learned that talking causes deterioration, or talk deteriorates. And so we must not just talk for the sake of talking, because the precision and the quality of the content tends to deteriorate, because we just talk to be heard. And then we learned last week that talking should never be filthy, never be foolish, never be insincere or shameful. And the Scriptures tells us to put aside all filthiness of communication and foolish jesting and insincere talk, and not to talk of the things that are, it's a shame to speak of the things that are done of them in secret. Some things should not be talked about. And in our families, we should train our children as to what those things are. And then we last week learned that talking intelligently to God is a high priority. So make sure that some of your talking is to God. And to me, this is one of the remarkable things about God. I mean, let me tell you something. There are thousands of remarkable things about God. Every one of them, everything I know about God is so exciting to me. I mean, it's just so full of goodness. Well, here is one of the things about God. Before I tell it to you, let me go back a couple of months ago. We talked about, some people don't know this about God, but a remarkable thing I discovered about God is that God has feelings. God has feelings. In fact, as you read this book, you can't help but discover the feelings of God. And another remarkable thing, if you recall that Wednesday night teaching, was to learn that God not only has feelings, but to learn that I can affect the feelings of God. That is like, this is remarkable, dear beloved, that we, so finite, so small by comparison to the creator of the whole universe, imagine that something I say or do or don't say or don't do has the ability to affect the feelings of God. Well, here's another one of those great, remarkable things about God. The scripture we used last week on this one was this: "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord." That you can reason with God, that you can hold an intelligent conversation with God, that you can argue a case before God, and you should do so. He invites you to do that. And I have never won. I have influenced God. Because we learned this last week, that you can actually, in reasoning with God, because you came to Him to talk the stuff over, He will do for you after the talk what He never would have done if you hadn't had the talk. That's a remarkable thing about God. And so make sure that you put high on your talking points, intelligent conversation with God. And I suppose that's, let me tell you, I personally think Christianity is much different than all the religions of the earth for a whole lot of reasons, intelligent reasons, I mean big reasons. We have a risen Lord, they have a dead leader somewhere. That's a big difference. You learned that last Sunday. But in other religions, they generate mantras. They generate incoherent routines, verbal routines, chants, if you please. If you're having a bad day, you say this over and over and over again. And it even reaches into Catholicism. Whereas in genuine biblical Christianity, this is not a mindless, put your mind out of gear and go into some religious dither with God. There certainly are times when we are overpowered by God, intoxicated, if you please, by God. But as part of our worship to God, it's not that we're supposed to go into this synthetically created zombied condition before Him. He invites us to think logically, progressively, and move with Him in an intelligent discourse. Okay. So that's part of what we learned last week. Talking to God is a high priority, intelligently to God. And then we learned last week that we should not talk when it's time to listen. And there's times to talk to God, and there's a time to be silent before God. You know, I remember a service back when we were in the Jewish community hall. Now that was, we're talking a decade ago. I remember one Sunday morning, we finished singing a song, and there wasn't another word spoken for 20 minutes. Was anybody here in that meeting? A silence fell on us. A holy silence. Nobody coughed, murmured, spoke up, sung. No strumming of guitar, keyboard, or anything. Nothing was going. Just absolute silence. And I tell you, some of the greatest refreshing moments that you can ever experience will be in silence before God. In fact, a couple of scriptures come to mind. He says, be still. Now the scripture says, be still and know that I am God. And I want let's just zoom in just on that phrase. Be still and acknowledge that it is God that you are before. Life can be too fast, too full, too busy for silence. And yet, in the silence, it is oft where you hear most clearly from God. There are moments when you don't even have to hear. Your soul needs to be stilled. You need to do what the shepherd told us to do and lay down by the shady green pasture, by the still water. Lay down. Empty of activity, empty of thought, empty of motive, blank before Creator. Wait, you know what? There's a whole lot of wonderful things that can happen right in that moment. If you go to Psalm 23, you find out that when you do that, He restoreth my soul. If you want to get your soul restored, shut down in the presence of God. Remove yourself from people, places, and things, activities, ideas, agendas, a blank sheet of paper. Just sit before God to restore your soul. I don't know about you, but I need that frequently. It's not once in a lifetime function. It's not once in a year deal. I highly recommend that you not go through a week without a silence before God. Restores your soul. What else happens there? He leads you in the right path. Leads me path right. Stuff will come to you, direction will come to you from God in the stillness more clearly than living your life in the hustle, bustle, and with the 10,000 voices that are around us telling us everything under the sun. Silent. We've got to get to tonight. Don't talk when it's time to listen. Go into the silence and listen. Go into the silence and listen. Go into the silence and listen. Go into the silence. And listen. Don't talk. It's time to listen. So, tonight, talking points. Learn to say what God says. Now, this is one of my favorites. Because I do get credits from some people sometimes for something I have said that sounded intelligent to them. And I tell you that all I have done is quoted God. In fact, if you come here, I don't know that I ever say something to you that I can't think of a verse behind it, or that I really got it from God to begin with. And if I ever do that, I want you to let me know. Learning to say what God says. In other words, you know, back to the concept. This is an important concept. It is the body of Christ concept we refer to in Scripture. You are the body of Christ. Remember, you are the body of Jesus concept. That means you are to Jesus, to Him, what His body was to Him when He was here 2,000 years ago. And if Jesus is going to hear anybody call for help, it's going to be with your ears. If He's going to see the needs in your community, it's going to be with your eyes. If He is going to help somebody, it's going to be with your hands, because you are the body of Jesus. If He is to go someplace to talk, to reach somebody, it's going to be on your feet, because you are the body of Jesus. If God is going to talk to people, it's going to be through your lips. Learning to speak the words of God to everyone and every circumstance is a great principle. Now, people's ego is tied to originality. People want to be the creator. They want to take over. They want to, an iniquity thing. They want to, my ideas. And I learned long ago, and I hope I've learned it well enough, as high as the heavens above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, saith the Lord. Now watch that. If His thoughts are as high as the heavens are above the earth, if His thoughts are as high above my thoughts as the heavens are above the earth, then I don't want to mess with my thoughts. When I talk to you, I don't want to give you my stuff. You follow that? I want you to get His stuff. That's why we learn this. That's why we memorize this. This is why we meditate in this. Because if we do that, the Scripture says, your profiting will appear to all. Having God's thoughts about every subject is critically important. Now, that's how you know how you ought to answer every man. If you want to be persuasive, then you want to learn the thoughts of God. Because there is no thought higher than the thoughts that originate in God. So it is a worthwhile exchange. Now, just to be real quick here, I'm going to give you a little flashback. There are 5 steps to following the Lord. And let me just re-echo them to you. The first is to become a Christian, is to be born again. Be reborn. It's starting fresh from the work of God in your heart. The second thing after you become a Christian, the next thought is to learn how to rethink every subject that affects your life. Learn to think the thoughts of God about every subject. How is it possible to become a Christian and still be thinking the same way you thought before you became a Christian? Is it impossible? Because you see, when you became a Christian, you passed from an old life to a new life. Old things passed away, and how many things became new? All of it. Well, what's all this new stuff about? And this is the fun of becoming a Christian. It is the fact that you get to learn stuff you never have to unlearn again. You learn thoughts. You learn ideas. You learn principles and concepts that are so vast in their wisdom, and they become yours. So, someone who becomes a Christian must learn to think right about their birth, themselves. They must learn to think right about their body. They must learn to think right about their father, their mother. They must learn to think right about food. Must learn to think right about sleep. Must learn to think right about drugs. Must learn to think right about alcohol. Must learn to think right about sexuality. Must learn to think right about marriage. Must learn to think right about sleep. Must learn to... Can you think of any subject? You see, what you want to do, the first thing after you get... If you become a Christian today, in fact, don't wait till tomorrow. Start learning the new thoughts about God. That's why the Scripture says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get your mind in the new kingdom. Get out of the old kingdom with your mind. Get into the kingdom of God and His way of thinking. Then step number three, when you become a Christian. Now, by the way, how do you learn to rethink? You know, there isn't a subject on this planet that this book doesn't have an opinion about. The concepts of God are between these pages. This is where you get the thoughts of God. Man, you know, think on them. And, great thought. And it becomes yours. Next thing you need to do is you need to refocus emotions. Anybody remember this? Got to learn to get your feelings going the same way as God's thoughts. Now, this is important. Because you know God says, get out of bed and go to church Sunday morning, but I don't feel like it. Right? Well, you going to follow your feelings? Now, everybody who's a successful Christian has learned that if God says do this and your feelings are going that way, that you got to drag yourself kicking and screaming in the direction of God. You got to forget those feelings and go God's way in spite of those feelings, right? All right, now watch this. There are three basic principles in the Bible that if you learn them, watch this now, you will be able to get your feelings turned around going in the same direction as the thoughts of God. So that God now says, go this way, but your feelings want you to go that way too. Now, you show me somebody who has put these three principles into practice and got their emotions turned around going in the direction of God, and I'll show you a Christian who has got unstoppable zeal. I'll tell you somebody who's not going to miss a beat. I mean, he's marching to the rhythm of a different drummer. I mean, he's got all of his emotional energy behind what he's doing and where he's going. He will cover more miles in seconds than the Christian who still got this, got dragged, oh, my feelings, I don't feel like, oh boy, I know I gotta do it. And you groan and grunt and complain and, risks are high that you will not bother going God's way. You will let your feelings become your guidance system. And if you do that, you're lost. You're lost. Well, how lost did you get? Totally lost. You lost your soul. You say, well, how can you say I lost my soul? Here it is. Before coming to Christ, you were used to following your feelings, fulfilling whatever you felt like feeling. Whatever you felt like, you did it. Feels good, do it. That was the rule. And you had, let's say you become a Christian when you're 20. You've had 20 years of living, I call this the sensual-based life. It is a life that is guided strictly by emotions. Which, by the way, those emotions can be very highly manipulated by your enemies. And you cooperate with them willingly because they got you by your emotions. We're going to cover some of this Sunday morning, I believe. But so you were used to fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, the feelings. And now you become a Christian. And if you try to live the Christian life by that same flawed criteria that you used to live by, you won't make it. You know why? Because it's as many as are led by the Spirit that are the sons of God. Not your feelings, by the Spirit. Can't tell you how important it is to go the way the Spirit leads. And make sure you learn the difference. When you follow the Spirit, is there any difference between the Spirit leading and the Word leading? Is there any difference between the Spirit leading and love leading? The Spirit will never lead you outside the will of God, the Word of God. Never. Never. The Spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh wars against the Spirit, and the two are contrary one to another. And in our former life, we were so used to functioning that way. That's why when you become Christian, you need to get attached to somebody who's been walking this way maturely for a while. You know what the disciples said when somebody got converted? Listen to their words. Come thou with us and we will do thee good. Come on, come with us. When Jesus gave an invitation, it was join up. Come, follow. Why? Because the old life is so opposite to the new life that the way you can survive the new life is to forget the old life and start functioning in the new way. Learn how to get your feelings turned around going in the same direction as God. Fourth step is to replan your life. What is this? This has to do with setting new goals. How can you plan your life if you don't think right? Can't be done. You see that? If you haven't learned to think right first, how can you have plans? How can you be pursuing the same goals after you're converted to Christ as you were before? Impossible. So I want you to see the logical progression of this. This planning is setting goals, spiritual goals, mental goals, emotional goals, educational goals, financial goals, social goals, marital goals, domestic goals, you name it. What am I going to do with my life now? And this is really one of the most exciting parts of becoming a Christian. It's a new life. It's a brand new way. It's a new way of thinking. It's a new way of getting your emotions going in the right way. And now you get, with the cooperation of God, to sit down at a design table, if you please, a drafting board, and on the sheet in front of you is your life. And you get, on the basis of the Word of God and what I call the sound mind principle. Everybody know what the sound mind principle is? Not giving us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Sound mind. That logic has much to do with this. And you get to design. Hey, you're 30, and you got 40 more years. What am I going to do with it? Get the plan your life based on the principles that you learned, because you got your head straight, you got your emotions turned around, and now you're ready for design. Okay, fifth step in following the Lord. And this one is so exciting as well. Anybody know what it is? Reproduce. Reproduce your life and somebody else. Now here, let me give you a couple of basic. Oh, we are really off track. How did I was just going to give you a little. Is the Lord okay? All right, watch this. Reproduce. Watch this now. You cannot teach what you do not know. And you cannot lead where you do not go. Now, in this part of following the Lord, this reproduce thing, here's what you get to do. Watch the diagram. Watch the screen. You get to bring somebody else to number one. What else do you get to do? You get to teach that person that you brought to number one everything you know about number two so they can get their head straight. And you tell them how important it is to get their emotions under control. And so you teach them the three principles you learn on how to get your feelings under control so they can get their feelings under control. And then you share with them the guidance principles of the Bible so they can begin to replan their life. And number five is teaching them everything you know about number five so that they can go and bring someone to number one and teach somebody number two and share with them three, four, and five. And that's all we've got to do the rest of our lives, dear beloved. This is discipleship. Now, I got off this track on this point of learning to say what God says and think because we've learned to think the way God thinks. Now, there is one fundamental reason why a person will learn what we just talked about. There's one reason. There's one reason why a person will learn to speak the words of God and learn to think the ways of God. It's in this verse. Because they have esteemed the words of his mouth more valuable, more important, more necessary than the food it takes to keep your body alive. Not just food, necessary food. More important than vibe. More important than the whatever nutritional plan you're on. This is why we say the things that God says and think the way God thinks, because we esteem. Now, what? I want to talk about that. I can't believe I'm going this slow. Let me tell you what it means to esteem. To esteem means to ascribe value. To make an adjudication, a judgment, if you please. That the thoughts of God, the ways of God, the words of God are so high, so holy, so righteous, that I don't want to think any other way, talk any other way, or go any other way. because I have adjudicated the ways and thoughts and words of God, and I have esteemed them more than my necessary food. Now, let me mess with you as nicely as I can. How much of the Word of God you learn today is reflective of how much esteem or lack of esteem you have for the Word of God? Okay, we can all say ouch together, okay? Now, I will appear to have a conflict of interest in what I'm about to say to you. It's okay, I accept the risk. In determining church attendance, now watch this. If the church, whatever church, and there are thousands of them everywhere, have no shortage of churches. But if the church of your choice is a Bible teaching fanatical church, if it's a church that's fanatical about the thoughts of God, if you know what I'm talking about, I'm not talking about a church that's fanatical about singing. I'm not talking about a church that's fanatical about programs. First of all, I happen to believe that a person who esteems the Word of God more than their necessary meat will search out the kind of church where that's the main course. See? And that is a good value, good reason for attending a given church. The question isn't how close is the church to my home? It's just how close is the church to the thoughts of God? Now, I personally believe that when we, if you have hooked yourself up with such a teaching Bible fanatical, not live by bread alone, but by every word of the God, associated with the Mother God church. Isn't that a nice kind of a church? A church that says, no, only live by the Word of God. Then you need to maintain your esteem for the Word of God, which will lead you to esteem that gathering time because of the words of God. You follow that? What makes a church valuable? I want to suggest to you, in my view, when you judge me, you judge my view. I say what makes a church valuable is not how many programs it has, or how many people it has, or how loud it is, or how successful it appears. It is how close is it to the words of God. And when you find that, if you esteem, then missing for trifling reasons is unthinkable because it's directly related to esteem for the words of God. So, watch what happens when you esteem the words of God. Are you ready? Watch this. You won't go back from the commandments of his lips. The reason people don't keep the commandments from the lips of the Lord is because they have not esteem. Everybody, is that, let me see. Are y'all, wow. I can't believe I'm only on number 35. Well, let's just skip to the next one. Golly. Don't let the unqualified talk of others upset you. Now, people will speak against you. There's no doubt about that. Jesus said, hey, you know what Jesus said? If they hate me, guess what? They'll hate you also. They reject me, they're going to reject you. Why? Because you say the same things, you hold the same values, you walk the same walk, you talk the same, right? You got it? Of course they're going to reject you because they're now, watch this now. Because we have warnings in the Scripture to beware if they speak well of us. Why? Why would there be a warning in the Bible about them speaking well of us? I'll tell you, the answer is simple. Because if we're not saying what he's saying, then they, and you got it? They'll speak well of you because, hey, you're in the same boat they're in. Same thoughts, same ideas. But if you got the thoughts of God, they're not going to speak well of you. They're going to speak against you. And the talk against you could escalate. It could rise to the level of a plot, a scheme, a family feud, if you please. Don't let their talk upset you. Now watch this word, unqualified talk. In other words, suffer for well-doing, but don't suffer as an evildoer. If we are doing something wrong and people are talking against us because they're right about us being wrong, then that's not that's the difference between qualified and unqualified talk. You got it? Okay. All right, but don't let what people say, when they speak against you because they speak of Christ, don't let that bother you. Don't get taken up in the lips of the talkers. They all talk about you. And they will make you an infamy. But don't let it upset you.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.